Good morning and welcome back to Nach Yomi. This is Rabbi Yaakov Trump and we are finishing up the book of Mishlei today. Today is Perek Lamed Aleph, the 31st and last chapter of Sefer Mishlei. So this has been quite a journey through Mishlei, a very tough book in Tanakh to learn. It is less of narrative, less common structure in each Perek. Every pasuk really stands by itself. But we've tried over the course of these last few weeks, of the last number of days, to be able to get a sense of the incredible treasure trove that Mishlei is. This last perek is really scintillating as well by itself. Let's try to appreciate some of the highlights of it. It is a very popular perek, and we'll see why soon. The perek is 31 psukim in total, and is divided into two sections. The first 9 psukim, Aleph to Tes, are the words of Lemuel, Melech. Actually, it's really an argument or a conversation he has with his mother. The way it starts, the starting pasuk of the perek is Divrei Lemuel Melech. These are the words of Lemuel Melech. Asher Masa. It is some sort of prophecy or place. Asher Yisratu Imoi. This is when his mother admonished him. So we're going to see what that means. And in this section, there's a few pieces of advice that the mother of Lemuel gives to him. One is to advising the king about his involvement in complex moral relationships. So she's begging him, Al titain lanoshim chelecha. Don't give your strength to these women. Don't give them to these people who will destroy and misuse your power and your life. She also cautions him from drink. You're going to forget laws by drinking. And she also talks about the responsibility he bears by encouraging and uplifting the downtrodden. Take care of those who are in the lower levels of society. Who is this Lemuel? Let's try to understand this section by itself. Who is Lemuel? So again, we see a similar debate as we saw in Perek Lamed, where there was a discussion about Agur. Agur bin Yake over there. Now we have Lemuel. So the Dat Mikran, a number of the Mepharshim suggest this is one of the kings of the East. We saw that Shlomo Melech had a lot of interactions with kings of the East, and he was the wisest of all of the kings, which is why people came to seek his advice and counsel. So this could have been one of those individuals and some of the advice he brings. However, Chazal and many of the classic Mepharshim follow this, that this is another pseudonym for Shlomo HaMelech himself. Perhaps the words are Lamoi El, that's his name, which is sort of a permutation of Immanuel, as the Ibn Ezra says, Hashem is with us or in front of us. Rav Yeshayahu Trani, one of the Mepharshim, says it perhaps is Lemuel El, that he is facing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's facing Hashem, and that's what it's referring to. Different ways of looking at it. And what this means to say is that we can actually perhaps cross-reference when this actually took place. If this is Shlomo HaMelech, and it's about the Yisratu Imoi, when his mother rebuked him, we can actually cross-reference when that happened. Rashi and the Mitzuros point out that there was based on the Psikta, there was a time when after the consecration of the Beis HaMikdash, B'Yom Chanukah's Beis HaMikdash, what happened was, is that he had a very big party, and he had he got married to the Bas Paro. This is an undated event, but this Psikta puts it at the same time as the consecration of the Beis HaMikdash. When he got married to the daughter of Paro, he made her own house. It was a very late night party, and he slept the next day till 4 hours into the day. And the problem is that the Maftechois, the keys of the Beis HaMikdash, were under his pillow. And that day, the Talmid Shel Shachar was brought late because of this incident. And so therefore, she comes in and she reprimands him. And that's why the themes in this section are about the relationships he has with women and drink. The Eim HaMelech, Bas Sheva, is giving him a very clear highlight as to what not to do. Which leads us into the next section, Psukim Yud to Lamed Aleph, which is the most famous part of Mishlei, arguably, and that is Eshes Chayil. The Eshes Chayil, which traditionally is sung on Friday night in the house, is now word for word directly from the last words of Mishlei, from these last 22 Psukim. Why 22 Psukim? Because it is an Aleph Beis structure. What is this all about? So there are a few tiers of understanding as to what Eshes Chayil can be about. The classic Mepharshim, as an example, the Ibn Ezra, the Mitzudos say that this refers to a woman, literally a woman. This is talking about the relationship of a man and a wife. And continuing on the theme that this is the discussion of Lemuel / Shlomo and his mother, the Ibn Ezra says that the reason why Eshes Chayil is placed over here is because Bathsheba is trying to drill into him what a healthy and good relationship looks like, not what he is engaged with now with the Baspara, which will ultimately lead him down a difficult path. And ultimately Shlomo HaMelech does find that as one of his challenges is the many women that he does marry, which is why Batsheva is of concern at this point in time. So it really much, very much reflects that. I would like to note that I saw a fascinating insight by which is recorded in Rav Yaakov Sims Nesiv Bina by an individual by the name of Dr. Rosen from Germany, who says that perhaps this is not simply just describing the relationship of a man and a woman, but there's a progression over the lifetime of that relationship. So first the woman is described in her prime, Eishes Chayil Mimseo, she's a woman of vigor, Chogra Bo'oiz Mosneho Vata Ma'itzeroseo, she's involved, she's producing, she is selling, she's involved in the marketplace, she's involved in the home. But then we hear about the thing that things deteriorate over time. We hear about the end of her life. Oiz v'hadar levusha, v'tishak lo'em acharon. At the end of her life, we hear more about her appearance and the laughing on her last days. The life lived well. And the end we hear perhaps even her eulogy. Kamu v'oneh v'ashrua ba'ala v'yahalo. Her children get up and praise her husband and gives her further praise. V'arabayz bonas oiz v'choyel v'at olisal kulona. And ultimately, this is the eulogy at the end of her life. And therefore, this is rather a longitudinal relationship. And what Batsheva is saying to Shlomo is, understand that life is not simply about the ecstasy of the highs of romantic relationships. It's long. It's complicated. It has ups, it has downs. But ultimately, it is commitment and responsibility all the way through. And that's what's being described in perhaps the story that is unfolding in the Eishes Chayil itself. However, there are other ways of looking at this, and many of them adopt the perspective that this is actually an allegory for the body and the soul. Yes, it talks about a woman, but it's not necessarily only a woman. It refers to the relationship between the body and the soul. The way that the Malbim says it, the Malbim has two levels of Pirush here. He's got the regular Pirush, what's called Musar Chochma, that's the name of his book on Mishlei. And he has an additional Pirush at the end of this Perek called Al Derech HaMuskal. That means on the more lofty level of understanding. And in the Derech HaMuskal, he suggests that what the equation is the following. The wife, the Isha in this case, is the earthly soul, the passions, the characteristics a human being is born with. And the husband is the wisdom which can help augment and redirect those characteristics. If a person just lives their life with their base set of passions and characteristics, their direction in life, they won't always end up in the right place. But married to the wisdom which can direct it, every person has the Isha and the Ish inside of them, so to speak, these two emotional, spiritual components within them, and melded together with wisdom and passion, with the idea of characteristics and guidance and logic, the two ideas can form a unity which will create a life of Avodas Hashem. But there are other ways of looking at this as well. So as an example, when we look at the Midrash Mishlei, the Yalkut Shimoni, they say that this is actually not the relationship of the different components of a human being, but rather the human being to Torah. Referring to Rachoik Mipninim Mikra refers to the idea of these valuables is referring to the Torah itself. That explains why it is 22 letters long, the Midrash says, because 22 letters of the Aleph Beis are the sum total of, we'll call it the metaphysical building blocks or elements of the world are the 22 letters of the Aleph Beis. And in this way of looking at the references to women are taken to mean women throughout history who have caused the advance of Torah. They are seen as the metaphor for advancing this idea as well. Chida adds on the word Chayil, of course, is the gematria of 48, referring to the 48 ways that a person is able to acquire wisdom. In fact, the Ben Ish Chai in the Halachas on Parshas Kedoshim actually has a very fascinating suggestion that if you look at the word Ha'isha, it is also the word Isha of woman is related to the same word as Ha'esh, fire, because the Torah itself, our relationship with Torah is like a fire which cleans us out, which removes the dross, the sigim from us, which is a mashal we saw in previous prakim in Mishlei itself. And therefore, it's the human being's relationship, not a man or a woman's relationship with one another, but a human being's relationship with Torah, which is that which purifies and redirects a person in life. And that's perhaps the example of it. There are numerous other explanations. So you'll see Midrashim which talk about how this is Avraham Avinu's hesped for Sarah Imenu as an example. Rabbi David Foreman has a beautiful shir on this, where he relates to this as being biographical for the story of Rus herself. There's a lot of very fascinating other explanations over here. Suffice to say that there are multiple levels of depth in understanding the Eishes Chayil, and this requires obviously much longer than simply a summary of the Perek to appreciate, but at least this is the table of contents for further study. One example, just how this how these multiple layers of meaning express themselves. We'll take one pasuk, pasuk Chof Gimel, as an example. Noda b'sha'orim bala, the husband is known or prominent in the gates. B'shivtoyim zekne oretz, as he sits among the elders of the land. Now you'll notice that most of the Eishes Chayil is not about the husband, it's about the wife, which is why it's Eishes Chayil. So why is the husband over here in this case? Rashi explains that this refers to simply the way he's dressed. As the previous psukim are indicating, she is the one who makes her own clothes, she makes her own mats in the house, and so therefore, why does the husband look so good? He doesn't know what the top of the tie is, the bottom of the tie, or what collar stays are. He has no idea. He'd look like a schlump if he walked outside every day. But, because of her, that's why he looks like an ace. So therefore, Noda b'sha'arim bala is a reference to her ingenuity to make him look good. The Rabag says, in a more sophisticated fashion, not just about the way he dresses, but also the good business decisions. Ultimately, the business decisions that he makes, which are the best, are because he consulted with his wife, and the woman is the one who is a little more conservative, the one who's not willing to take the mortgage of the house and invest it in a new product. We'll be a little more reticent. We're going to be a little more careful about where we invest our money, and because of that, the best decisions are made with her help. These two Mefarshim are obviously taking into account that this is the relationship of a man and a wife. However, when you dive into the Derech HaMuskal of the Malbim as an example, he says no. There's the Seichel, which refers to the Baal, the husband, and there is the Neshama, the Nefesh, which refers to the woman. And sometimes, in this case, the feminine element, which is the Nefesh, requires a little bit, the passion and the characteristics can get misguided sometimes, which requires the Seichel to bring them back into place at the Sha'arim, at the gates, which are, the gates represent the interface between a human being and the reality around them. Noda b'sha'arim bala, there needs to be the Baal over here to redirect some of these incredible passions so that both the logic and the passion, both the emotions and the intellect, are able to come together in the human being to create a composite response. The Vilna Gaon says this relates to the relationship of Torah, and what Zikne Oretz refers to over here is that the way that we are able to find the answers to our greatest questions is to attach ourselves back to the ancestors, our patriarchs, the matriarchs of our people, Zikne Oretz, in order to be able to find out where we come from and therefore where we are ultimately going. Here's just an example of where you see multiple tiers of meaning in the same words of Eishes Chayil, and every other pasuk can be opened up and unpacked in a similar fashion. In conclusion, as we conclude this incredible Sefer, and with the opportunity to return back to it very soon and appreciate even more as we go through it again and again and again, just one fascinating point, and that is the book begins, Sefer Mishlei begins with a person with the prayer and the plea, Shema menibus musar avichu alti toish Torah simecho, to listen to the father and the mother. We heard a lot about what the father says, and the last perek is about certainly what the mother says, and this is the plea of a mother to Lemuel, who perhaps is Shlomo, or perhaps is each of us, as that mother talks to us and says, please listen to these ideas, please learn, please appreciate, and always keep growing. With this we conclude Mazal Tov, and Be'ezos Hashem, we look forward to starting Sefer Iyov tomorrow. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.